Good morning once again. It's good to see each of you in person and those that are at home and those are down on the other side of the building in the youth wing. Hello, welcome. It's good to see all of you. I am so excited to be here this morning because I have a really awesome message on my heart. It's burning inside of me, but it's not because it's me, it's because it's the Lord's. And I'm really excited to talk about it. As we have been going through Ephesians, there are actually a couple of different places in Ephesians where I feel like I could bring this particular message. But I think that today, in these verses that we're covering right now, is a good spot for us to just take a moment and pause and reflect on how unique Christianity is. It is so great. We gather together, and when something bad is happening, you know what we do? We pray. When we need to mobilize, we pray. When somebody's hurt and sick and dying, we pray. When the nation's falling apart, we pray. When things are going bad, what do? We pray. And here's the neat thing about prayer, is oftentimes we say that phrase or we think about prayer, oh, it's the least we can do. No, it is the most we can do. Prayer is the most that we can do because Christianity is so unique in the fact that we as human beings recognize that God is the one that gets things done. See, every other religion in the world, every other philosophy in the world, every other thing in the world, they have this idea that it's not about some deity or it's not about something that does things. It's about you. You're the one that pulls yourself up by your bootstraps. You're the one that tries really hard. You're the one that grabs the ladder. You're the one that walks over and you struggle with that ladder because it's a little heavy. But you do everything you can, set that ladder up. You do good things. You're a nice person. You really worry about what it's like to care about somebody else. So maybe you'll give to a charitable organization. Maybe you'll do a few things. You'll help an old lady cross the street, right? What good deeds can I do? What good things can I do in order to balance my good rap sheet versus my bad? And so all the other world religions, all the other philosophies, everything else, it's about taking that first step. And then once you take that first step, you're closer to whatever you want to get to, whether that's God or nature or enlightenment or whatever. You take that first step, and you're on your way. See, all the other world religions, they really focus on, I want to climb my way. I want to get up there. See, if I pull myself up by my bootstraps, I can make it. See, if I try really hard enough, I can accomplish something. But you know what Christianity says? You know what following Jesus says? You know what the Bible says? It says that God, he walked down to us. Perfect God is in heaven. And he condescended himself. Yes, I'm using that word correctly. He literally made himself less for us. He took the next step. And see, if we're thinking about any other world religion, if we're thinking about any other philosophy, or we're thinking about anything else, what is it? It's works-based, isn't it? And see, works-based things, those, we as human beings, we really like works-based. You know why we like works-based? Because we're in control. Because when we're in control, we decide how quick we go. You know, if I really want to attain whatever's up there, then I can go really quick. Or I can kind of take it slow. Maybe I'll take a step back. Maybe I'll go back up. Whatever. I'm in control of my salvation, right? Well, you know what I said a couple weeks ago? You remember that phrase? We contribute nothing to our salvation except for what? The sin that made it necessary. That's our great God, isn't it? Our great and awesome God. You know what he did? He came down to us. Our great and awesome God, he left perfect heaven to come to dirty, sinful, disgusting human beings. Yeah, I'm talking about you. And I'm talking about myself, too. He worked his way down for us. That's unique. That's a message that nothing else in this world has. The message that says perfection came to you. Everything else says you got to go up to perfection. You got to work your way. You got to climb that ladder. You got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You got to try. You got to try. And you got to try. Well, you know what happens when I try? I fail. But you know, when I trust that he came down this ladder for me, when I trust that when Jesus said, it is finished, it truly is finished, God came down to us. God came down to us, and that is special, isn't it? Today, as we're in Ephesians chapter 1, looking at verses 3 through 6, we recognize that we have spiritual blessings in Christ. God the Father has spiritually blessed us in three really, really awesome ways. Let's read this passage, and then we'll look at the ways in which he has blessed us. But Ephesians chapter 1, if you have your Bibles turned there or scroll there or whatever, there's something special about having the Word of God in your own hands, whether that's a paper copy or on the phone or the tablet or something like that. There's something special about that. Does it mean that you're more spiritual? No. Does it mean that you've earned more grace? No. But it helps us, I think. So Ephesians chapter 1, start in verse 3. I'm going to read from verse 3 through the end of 6, and then we'll go back and we'll talk about these. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoptions as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved." As I read that, you listen, if you listen closely, do you hear anything about what we did? Who's the actor in all those verses? God. Who's the one that is acting? Who's the one that is doing something in all those verses? God. What are we? We're babies. You hear it right now. I love the sound of a crying baby in a sermon, by the way. But that's what we are. What can a baby do? Well, we all know what a baby does. Can a baby get up and say, "I got this"? No. It's a toddler that starts doing the things. So I actually did, this is not my ladder, but I bought a ladder yesterday because I needed to do some painting up by the ceiling. And I watched, and my toddler started crawling up, and I was holding, I wasn't holding him, but because, you know, that's kind of cool, right? But I was just like ready to catch him, and he climbed all the way up to the top. Yeah. I was there, don't worry. But toddlers, they're the one that starts to crawl, right? And that's the reflection of us as human beings. The moment that we feel as though we can do something, the moment we feel as though we're independent, what do we try to start doing? Being in control of our situation, being in control of our circumstances, working in order to get our agenda done. And it only gets worse as we get older, doesn't it? Let's be like babies. Let's recognize, as a baby, I can do nothing apart from my awesome Heavenly Father who feeds me, who nurtures me, who takes care of me, who changes me when I'm dirty. I want to be a baby because God is the one that does everything. And it's pretty freeing in that, actually. So as we look at these verses, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." That verse right there, I just want to bring us back to a few minutes ago when I reminded us all that we were citizens of heaven, because God the Father is spiritually blessing us in the heavenly places. What does that mean? That means as followers of Jesus Christ, we are spiritually rich. That's great. I'd rather be spiritually rich and earthly poor than earthly rich and spiritually poor. Amen? So as we are spiritually rich because of the blessings that the Father has literally lavished upon us in the heavenly places, we remind ourselves that we are citizens of heaven, and as citizens of heaven, we need to act accordingly. And that means that there are things in our life that we need to do. There are things in our life that needs to change. We talked about that last week. We talked about God's will and our faithfulness. The fact that God is sovereign, He does all the work, remember? But we're still held accountable to do and to live faithfully. But let's look. I keep teasing this. Let's look at a couple of the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus because of God the Father. And the first one is found in verse 4. It says this: even as He has chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. The first spiritual blessing is that God has chosen us. Isn't that neat? Remember back in middle school when all the kids were lined up and you're standing there and people start getting picked for teams? And what did you want to do? Be anything but last, right? I remember I'd always step forward a little bit, or I'd like step on my tiptoes, so I'd look a little bit bigger, look a little stronger, you know, remind people I was quick, whatever it was. I didn't want to be last. It felt so good to be chosen, didn't it? Think about that. God the Father, He chose you before the foundation of the world, by the way. That's special. And somehow in our human understanding, we've taken that incredible blessing, that incredible, awesome mystery, that incredible thing, we've taken that and we've turned it into a debate. Does God choose us or do we choose Him? Well, the Bible talks about both, right, by the way? But the fact that God has chosen us before the foundation of the earth, God has done something that only God can do. That's neat. Before God spoke the words, "Let there be light," He knew you. Let that sink in. You want to feel really small and really big at the same time? Think about that. Before God said, "Let there be light," He knew you. He knew that right now your stomach would be grumbling a little bit. You'd be hungry. He knew exactly what you look like, exactly what you think like. He knew you as well as anyone could know you. He knows you better than you know yourself. And He chose you. Think about that line again, the kids that are lining up. Think about being picked for soccer or baseball or dodgeball or something like that. The more that you knew about a kid, the better your selection could be, right? Oh, I know Johnny, he's really good at basketball, but he cannot swing a bat. So we're playing baseball, I'm not going to pick him, right? God knows you. He knows your failures. He knows where you're weakest. He knows you better than you know yourself. And He still picked you. Wow. He knows those deep, dark secrets that you never told anybody. And He still chose you. Even before the foundation of the world, He chose us. But He chose us that we would be holy and blameless in Him. So here's a neat thing. You ever hear that phrase, God, He loves you, and He's going to accept you however you are. Come as you are. You ever hear that phrase, right? Typically, when we talk about that phrase, come as you are, we're talking about what you should wear to church, right? It's kind of strange there. But God does love you, and you can and should come to Him as you are, but here's the neat thing. He's not going to leave you in that state because He loves you too much. So God picks us, He chooses us, so that we can become more like Jesus, so that we can be holy and blameless before Him. Holy, what's that word mean? Holy, it means set apart. So if you're, like, we can really go all the way back, and we're thinking about agriculture, you're thinking about the Israelites, they're separating the sheeps and the lambs, and are sheeps lambs? Yeah, right? I need to look at some farmers here, right? They are, okay. They're looking at one, and then they can take one, and they can set it apart. They can make it holy. They can remove it from the rest of the group, okay? as believers in Jesus Christ, if we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, then what happens is that we are made holy because we are set apart from the world. We are separated to God, separated from the world, separated to God. That holiness thing is something that we need to strive after. That holiness thing is really, really important. God says, be holy as I am holy. The really neat thing about being holy is that positionally we are holy, right? Because we are in Christ. We are a new creation. In Christ, we are holy. But practically, even though positionally we are holy, practically that's where we mess up, don't we? Practically, that's where we kind of trip over ourselves all the time. That's why God reminds us, be holy as I am holy. Because it's that thing that it's reality is that we struggle and we have difficulties and we sin, right? Let's just call it what it is. We sin. But because Jesus is holy, then we can be holy. He's chosen us so that we can be holy and blameless. Now, that's another crazy thing to think about, right? How many of us in this room or watching online, how many of us are blameless? Yeah, you guys are really smart. I didn't see any hands go up. We know, right? But here's the neat thing. Even though we are to be blamed, even though we are guilty, when Judge Jesus slams that gavel down, he declares us righteous, he declares us justified, and therefore, even though we have blame, that blame is taken away and we are presented before God as blameless. That's cool. The fact that we can stand before our Creator God as holy and blameless. Us, of all people, can be holy and blameless, presented to God because of Jesus, the good and righteous, perfect judge. That's neat. There's another blessing that we have from God. It's in verse 5. It says, in love, and we think it's strange that verse 5 starts at he, but in love is still part of that sentence. So in love, let's not forget that. God loves us. In love, he predestined us for adoptions as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. Again, we see God is the one that is moving. God is the one that is doing things. God, it's according to his will. He is the one that loved. He is the one that predestined. But the second blessing that we have is God has adopted us. And that's a beautiful thing as we think about the fact that God, he has chosen us. He has adopted us. So we think about that word predestined. That's a word that will trip a lot of people up. But again, it's in the Bible, so we can't run past it. The fact that God, before time began, before the foundations of the earth, he not only knew you, but he predestined, he foreordained the fact that you would be his. That's special. Don't run past that. Don't try to start a debate. Just accept the fact that God loves you. He chose you, and he decided that he was going to adopt you. I adopted my son, Eli. He didn't get anything to say about it. He was an infant. Brought him home from the hospital. When I held him in the hospital, I didn't look at him and say, hey, bud, you want me to adopt you? No, he didn't have a choice. But he's mine. We don't necessarily have a choice in the fact of that. The fact that God has adopted us, but we are his. And that's special. And yes, there's that human responsibility. Yes, there's that thing that we have to choose God each and every single day. There's that point that we are responsible for saying, yes, Lord, I accept the fact that you've accepted me. Yes, Lord, I am trusting in you. Yes, we know all that. There's this teeter-totter between man's free will and God's sovereignty. But again, we're just focusing on this passage right now, and let's just bask in the fact that God has adopted us. He chose to make us his family. And it's not just a baby. It's not just the fact that we're adopted and we just get toted all around the place. It's the fact that he's adopted us and we have adult standing in his family. We have the rights to be called sons and daughters of God, and we have that adult standing, meaning that we have an inheritance in Christ. We'll get to that in a few passages, in a few chapters here as we continue to walk through Ephesians. But it tells us that we have an inheritance found in Christ because of God. That is really, really cool. God has adopted us. We get to be grafted into his family. Outsiders, sojourners, aliens, outcasts become part of the family. Strangers and aliens are now brothers and sisters. That's neat, isn't it? I think that's really neat. God has blessed us so, so much. He's chosen us. He's adopted us. And then in verse 6, we see this, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved. The word's not in here, but I really want us to understand that God has accepted us. If he's chosen us, if he's adopted us, then he has accepted us. And again, we're not talking about the fact that we need to perfect ourselves and be presented by God. We got to get perfect so that God will accept us. No, he makes us perfect. That's why he accepts us. Remember this? I did a couple minutes ago. We didn't forget, right? Right? If we say, okay, I need to make myself perfect so I can come to God, that's what we're doing. I need to tithe a little bit more. That's what we're doing. I need to come to church a few more times. That's what we're doing. By the way, giving and coming to church are good things. Okay? Don't mishear me. James says that we are saved to do good works, but we're not saved by good works. And so if we think, oh, in order to be accepted by God, I got to climb the ladder, I got to do all these things. No, no, we're off. What we recognize is that Jesus came down the ladder for us. And because Jesus came down the ladder for us, we can be accepted by God. That's neat. So us, with all of our warts, with all of our scars, with all of our dirty spots, painting really leaves its toll. I got out of the shower this morning, I had paint on my foot. Huh? I was wearing shoes the whole time. Life leaves its scars. Life leaves its marks. Life just happens to us. But here's the thing. Even in the midst of all that, God accepts us. And he's the one that makes us right. He's the one that makes us whole. He's the one that makes us holy and blameless, presented to God. God is the one that does that work. We cannot make ourselves acceptable to God. But he, in his grace, he has made us accepted in Christ. And this is an eternal position that cannot and never will change. That's the kicker, right? You think, oh, well, I'm accepted by God. That's great. You leave this room, you walk outside, you get in your car, and you're about to pull out, and somebody pulls out in front of you, and you go, oh, I just lost it. He doesn't accept me anymore. God, turn around, come back. No, that's not how it works. He accepts us. He makes us whole. He makes us perfect. He makes us holy. He makes us blameless. He's the one that's doing the work. It's our job to submit to him. It's our job to say, Lord, have my life. Be actual, literal Lord and master of my life today. Because there's nothing that we can do except for submit to him. We've been talking about this ladder and how the world says, let's climb. Jesus climbed down to us, so what's our position in all this? If we're not even touching the ladder, if Jesus is the one that touched the ladder, Jesus is the one that came down for us, what's our position? That's where we need to live, in complete and total surrender. God, thank you for blessing me in ways that I never, ever could understand, ways that I could never, ever even comprehend. God, thank you for blessing me in ways that I never, ever deserved. But because of your love, you have chosen me. Because of your love, you've adopted me. And because of your love, you have accepted me. This is the place we need to live. That's the place that we need to live our lives. That's how we need to approach each and every single day. It's all because of Jesus. It's all because of the work of God in my life. He has made me rich spiritually. Let's bask in that, okay? Father, thank you so much for this day, and we thank you for the blessings that you give us. We thank you for Jesus climbing that ladder down to us. Lord, we thank you that there is nothing that we can do to earn your grace, to earn your love. You give it fully and freely. So, Lord, I pray that we live our lives in response to that. Because you love us, let us live for you. Because you've given us grace, let us not sin. Because you have blessed us, let us live in a way that shouts and proclaims to the world that we are spiritually rich because of our great and awesome Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.